12 minutes past five. Now, you might have heard me say earlier, one of the problems, certainly for me as an observer or a participant, I guess, in a limited way in the conversation around youth unemployment, is that so much of the discussion appears to get stuck, that the economy isn't growing as it should. And reasons are offered for that. On the one hand, there's criticism of government for not running economic infrastructure properly, not sustaining it. On the other, too much regulation is offered as a reason. And then the education system gets put into the spotlight, and the conversation there focuses on whether the correct skills are being taught both in school and at tertiary level. While all this is going on, various organizations are wrestling with the problem and trying to come out with answers that, first of all, are more specific, but secondly, that are actually implementable, that can be put into practice. Well, one such organization is the DG Murray Trust. They believe that they have a concept that points us in the right direction. And to talk about it, we're joined by Bridget Hannah, who's Innovation Director at the Trust. Ms. Hannah, welcome, and thanks very much for your time. You are very big on something you call demand-led skilling, and we'd love you, first of all, just to tell us what it is before we look into specific examples. Good afternoon.
Thanks, John. Good afternoon. Yes, well, we're really passionate about bringing young people closer to the world of work, so economic inclusion. And when we think about demand-led skilling as opposed to education more generally, it's skilling for training for real jobs, both for the present and then that make jobs future fit or make skilling future fit. So demanded skilling is really thinking about working for skilling, both with the economy we have and the economy we want to build.
Isn't the difficulty with that, though, that those arguments are often at a very general level instead of drilling down to, okay, what do entrepreneurs in Kimberley need right now? I don't mean that as a real example, but as a generic one. Because, for example, we hear from various platforms, well, it's the AI era and this and that. But the actual detail about who needs what skills when and for what is not always as prominent in the conversation, it seems to me, as it should be.
I would agree. And demand-led skilling is being led through the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention. They've identified five growth sectors of the economy.
Right.
And the idea is that how do we skill for where work exists and where work may exist? And so at the first level, we've got a national, let's call it enabling environment around thinking about demand-led skilling. So you mentioned the basic education system and the tertiary system. In between those is the post-secondary education training system, which is everything including the TVETs, the community education training centers, and civil society behind that. But I think that's where it really lands, to your point about the sort of more localized impact, is that we have to be thinking about national strategies, but then where they often fail is the geography. So how do we think about an enabling environment at the national level, but then making sure that the skills have local relevance and that, in fact, local relevance guides training provision when we get down to the local level where young people find themselves?
So where are people getting this right? I mean, are there examples? Because presumably you at the DG Murray Trust are not just looking at a theory, but you either yourselves directly testing ideas or engaging with people who are?
Yeah, we have the great opportunity to both support projects that are working in vocational skills, and vocational skills specifically because they pair both theory and work. Young people who have access to work are 6 times more likely to remain employed. So we have organizations that we support, but then we also work with the broader sector in order to really ensure that intervention is matching real opportunity at scale. And so to this end, and this is where I think it is really exciting to think about, how do we go beyond just TVET and university level of skills provision and think about the role of community education training centers and broader civil society? And then thinking about this pairing of theory and work and the interchange between the two. So perhaps an example and thinking about digital skills is the huge need for public record digitization and digital skills needed for public administration and data administration. And if we think of, for example, and we support the provision of quality public employment programs, how would you leverage a first work experience where a young person is doing this recording of or digitization of in data administration, thinking about how do you layer in additional skills in digital skilling so that when a young person exits that work opportunity, they have more market-related skills that will give them an access into a more decent level of income, perhaps, and a more sustained level of income. And so I think that's when we're really thinking about skilling as sitting alongside work and then thinking about, well, where are those demand sectors in the economy? So that it's not thinking about employment as a point in time, but as a sustained engagement with the economy.
Bridget Hannah, thank you very much. Innovation Director at the DG Murray Trust.